It's certainly one of the selling points for the club. You know, as people drive through to go into Tunbridge Wells, it's there, it's present. It's got the church in the background, the pub over the road. It's the kind of atypical village cricket setting, really, which really sells the club for us quite well.
And David, you've been interested in cricket quite a long time. When did that interest first start?
I suppose it was probably in the formative years. Round at my grandfather's, playing cricket in the back garden, watching test matches on TV when they were on TV, watching England lose probably quite often. But that kind of gave me a passion for the game when I was quite young. And then played at school, and then I didn't play again until I actually moved down to Tunbridge Wells. And just, you know, driving in, seeing the common, and just thinking that would be a really nice place to play cricket. And so I took it up again sort of back in 2012 and got back into cricket and pre-kids jumped into it. And it's kind of been a big part of my life since then, really.
It is a time-consuming sport, isn't it? As someone who has occasionally agreed to play and then realised your entire day from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. can be taken up with this sport.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there's no getting away from it. The formats nowadays are a little bit shorter. So we tend to play kind of 40 over cricket. So it takes about 5 hours, 6 hours, depending on how slow the overs are. The other advantage we have actually is that we play in a really local league. So when we're playing on Saturdays, we're playing other local village sides around Tunbridge Wells. The furthest we go is probably about 40 minutes away. And then on a Sunday, because of the setting, lots of teams want to play us on the common, so we can be quite picky, but it also means that we are locally, you know, we're playing at home, so we haven't got the bookending of long journeys either end. So, but there is no getting away from it. It can take up quite a long part of the day.
And you've been busy because the number of teams in that 10 years or so that you've been involved has been growing, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we've, as a club, we've always had junior cricket, but it has really increased significantly. We got on board with the England Cricket Board scheme back in 2017 when it started, the All-Star scheme, which targets children from 5 to 8, so reception to year 2. So we started that, and we're now in its 8th or 9th year. And that's just, it's given you really good visibility of junior cricket on the common, but it's also then brought the numbers through. And it's helped us develop a girls section as well off the back of that. So we now have, with the numbers we have, where we had under 11s, under 13s, under 15s, we now have 2 teams under 11s, 2 teams under 13s, and we now have girls teams under 11 and under 15 as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's becoming quite an administrative, not a challenge, but it's, you know, there's lots of spinning plates during the season.
And they can't all play on that iconic pitch at the same time.
No, I mean, and unfortunately not. And the way that the fixtures are set for the juniors is they tend to be Sunday mornings or Monday evenings. And we now have 4 teams that would be playing on Sunday mornings. So some of it is rearranging and playing on other nights. But we have more recently developed a link with Rusthall Cricket Club as well. So we host some of our under 11 and under 13 games over there, which they're really appreciative as well, because it's getting some visibility of cricket happening over in Rusthall as well. So it helps us and we help them as well.
And how do those links, how do you get interest, for example, with the girls and women getting involved in cricket for the first time?
A lot of it is word of mouth. You know, if you can pick up one or two girls and then their friends, and then that really helps. We have also we now have female coaches as well. So last year they went into Southborough Primary and they delivered a couple of sessions for the girls there as well, just to try and enthuse them. And I think it's really important as well. You know, one of the real positives around having the women's section and now having female coaches is that when the girls turn up to training, there's actually female coaches coaching them rather than people who look like me. So that I think breaks down barriers as well, but a lot of it is word of mouth.
And there are certain mornings where you go along quite early and that cricket ground is absolutely packed with balls and bats and enthusiasm.
Yeah, Saturday morning. So That will start Saturday the 3rd, and then Saturday the 10th, the All-Star starts as well. So it's a cacophony of sound, colours as well, because, you know, with the All-Stars, they wear a really bright blue. And it's just a really, you know, fun social place to be. So a lot of the parents, you know, we kind of ask them to stay around anyway, particularly with the younger age groups, but you can see them socializing with, you know, friends that they know through the school drop off or, you know, through classes. We have a little cafe up there as well on a Saturday as well. I mean, there's a bit of a running joke that we've almost become a cafe with a cricket club on the side, but it's a really nice place just to spend time. And so, you know, it's the number of people, whenever I sort of say, oh, I'm involved with Southbury Cricket Club, they go, oh God, Saturday mornings, it's brilliant to see, you know, it's fantastic. Everyone speaks positively about, you know, seeing particularly children making use of the green spaces in the local area.
And it's not all with the hard ball either. Some of the teams use a softer ball.
Yeah, so the All-Stars and the Under-9s use softball, which is why we're able to do all the training on the common. For the under-11s, 13s and 15s, they use a hardball. So we're really fortunate that we're actually able to do our training at Southfields Park, so Skinner School playing fields. Because if we were to try and do it on the common, we'd have to do it over a series of evenings. Whereas at Southfields Park, because they have the space, we just run it all on a Tuesday evening. So really grateful for the support from Skinners on that. And it just allows us to run really good, but also safe sessions as well.
The pitch itself, a lot of work goes on, even more often than people playing on it, there are people mowing it. How much effort does it take to get a pitch into that state?
It's a labour of love, is what I would say. So we've got a number of volunteers that make up our grounds team, which is led by Jamie Brown. Who I think one summer it felt like he was camped out up there. He was up there so often. But you know, there's a lot of method to preparing a pitch, but not just preparing the pitch, making sure that the square is kept on top of as well. So one of the things that, because of the prominence of our position, we always want to make it look really nice, which is why we now mow it in bays. So when you drive down, you can actually see kind of each of the pitches kind of set out. And, you know, we always want it to play as well as it looks as well. So there's lots of effort that goes in. It's not just, as some people kind of think, oh, it's just mowing grass. There's, you know, practices like verticutting to get rid of the type of grass and the thatch that you don't want. And then at the end of the season, after all the hard work we put in, we come along with big heavy machinery and rip it all up and then get it.
Why?
Just because you want to get all of the thatch out of the playing surface and has become embedded kind of in the top, because that's kind of the enemy of what you want with your cricket pitches, which is pace and bounce. So that's what you do at end of season.
So you basically take it down to earth again and get new grass to grow.
Yeah, I mean, you still have the grass there, but you're scarifying out and you're taking a lot of grass out and you're taking quite a bit of the soil out as well. You're trying to just get the thatch, the bad stuff out, but invariably you take some of the good stuff out as well. But yeah, I mean, over probably the last 10, 15 years, the science that's been involved in the heavy machinery as well has come on leaps and bounds. And so, you know, it is one of those things where, after all your effort, after all the work that Jamie's done through the year, there's no tears shed or anything like that, but it is, you know, the day after they've done it, it just looks like a brown square because you've then put the topsoil back on the loam. And then you just hope you get a nice autumn and winter and it all grows back through again. Not the 40 mil of rain we had last year after we did it, and it washed quite a bit of the seed out. So, but yeah, it is, I mean, you know, huge, huge props to Jamie for the hours that he puts up there as a volunteer. And we're all volunteers to the point where, you know, when Jamie plays on a Saturday, we still ask him for a match fee. No one gets away from paying a match fee. But the amount of comments that he gets from dog walkers, from anybody that kind of spends any time up on the common, you know, they're all really appreciative of how good it looks, because I think it's a really important kind of focal point in the local community.
And for the cricketers, if you're facing a fast bowler, you do need it to bounce true, don't you?
Yeah, so consistent. That's all you're looking for, really. I mean, obviously, you kind of want a good pace and bounce, but if it's just consistent, that's the main thing, really.
And I've heard it said that the quality of the pitch is basically up to a county standard.
I'm sure Jamie would love to hear that. yeah, I mean, it does play well. We are hoping to get it to play better. There are some limits on kind of, you know, as well as being not, you know, not doing it a full-time job. There are other limits around some of the machinery we've got as well. So one of the things we're looking at the moment is upgrading our roller. So we've got an old road roller that's been with us for, I think we've had it for 30 years and someone else had it for 30 years before that. And it's not heavy enough to prepare the quality of pitches that we ideally want, which would then also give a bit more life to those pitches as well, because we're trying to get so many games on. If we can eke another game out, that's fantastic. So we are looking at the moment to do some fundraising to try and get a new heavier roller, which, you know, once we have that in our armory, that would just again further improve the quality of the pitches and the longevity of the pitches as well.
And what about your other facilities? So the clubhouse, how's that looking? It's got a bright electronic scoreboard appeared a few years ago.
Yes, yeah, that was through our 150 club. So I mean, it's as most or as a lot of pavilions, it started off with a very simple purpose. So you kind of, you know, you can imagine you've got relatively small changing rooms, because back in the 50s when it was built, you had a shared kit bag that just went in the middle of the changing room and everyone got their kit out and put it back in. Nowadays, 11 players turn up with these huge oversized bags and suddenly the changing rooms aren't large enough. We have a shower room where you have to go through the home changing room. So as we've started to have girls cricket, women's cricket, the facilities are not where they need to be in terms of, you know, trying to support kind of a more modern way. We were successful a couple of years ago in improving our ladies' toilets facilities, which has made a marked difference, because you end up with nice new toilets and then suddenly everything else looks a bit naff. So a lot of time was spent at the beginning of last season of actually just trying to brighten up the whole pavilion, which has worked to a degree. But there are, you know, we are still quite limited. We'd like it to be much more of a kind of social club for the club. But there's really limited social space within there. And then the changing facilities are a little bit limited as well. So ideally, knock it down, win the lottery, rebuild it. But at the moment, it's just kind of doing the best that we can with the facilities we have available to us.
Now, you've got a big anniversary coming up, 225 years of cricket at Southborough.
Yes. Yeah. So 1794 was the first newspaper cutting that we found, which is about cricket on the common, but that didn't involve anybody from Southborough. So the origins of the club were dated to 1800, and we've been celebrating that for many years now. So this year represents 225 years. So we are in the process of pulling together kind of a plan of action of what we're going to be looking to do. Some of it's going to be, you know, looking a bit of a nod to the past. So back in probably the 1920s through to the 1950s, the Southborough traders used to play against the Rootham traders and they would always wear top hats. So there's bits from our history that we can sort of pick up, and, you know, and then maybe we decide not to go with top hats, but there's lots of really quirky little things that have happened around cricket in the past on the common. So we may give some little nods to some of that historical context.
Yeah, the equipment has changed, hasn't it? That there is this film from the 1930s of the 200th anniversary of the Sevenoaks Fine that you can see on Pathé News, and they're playing in the style, what, of sort of at least 100 years earlier, when there were just two stumps and a strange-shaped cricket bat?
Strange-shaped cricket bat. And in those days, they would have been bowling underarm as well. So, things have definitely moved on. And then the scoring, they didn't have scorebooks. They would mark a notch on a piece of wood as well. One of the things that we wouldn't probably do, but for many years, the common didn't actually have a boundary. So if you hit the ball down, If you hit the ball onto the road, you still had to run. So that was something where I think at one stage, Southborough entered into a league back in the 1900s, early 1900s, and then they got kicked out of the league because they refused to introduce a boundary. But there were stories about, you know, people going, running down the road and then trying to come up the other way so they could try and hoodwink the batsman. So yeah, just lots of crazy things happened in the past, really, up on the common.
Cricket could be lots of fun.
It can be, definitely.
David Smith, the chair of Southborough Cricket Club, thanks so much for coming in.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And do come in again and keep us up to date with what's been going on and how the teams are doing through the summer.
I'd love to. Thank you.